Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here in SC7 as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's massive six-pointer with Middlesbrough. Over on my right-hand side, looking resplendent in your blue polo neck jumper is Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Luke?
Yeah, good mate, you're right.
Yeah, not too bad. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, not too bad.
Have you recovered from the 4-0 defeat?
Personally, I don't think I'll ever recover, but I've got to start looking forward at some point.
Well, excellent. Well, good to see you. And also joining me on my left-hand side is Mr. Nathan Mother. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream.
Yes. There was a random guitar in the studio when we got here. And now Nathan's just going to
turn into Joel Santana, mate.
Yeah, he's decided he's going to play it at random stages throughout the show. So there you go. That's what Nathan enjoys. No Tom this week.
Where is he?
He's at a James Arthur concert. A James Arthur concert at the O2. So, I mean, he's literally missing the show to go for a J. Arthur.
So it was J. Arthur. Yeah. Last week, Lighthouse Family.
Yeah.
Stern words, mate.
J. Arthur. I hope he washes his hands after because of the whole coronavirus. But there you go. Right. So on tonight's show, we'll be looking ahead to Saturday's game with Middlesbrough. It is a big, big game here at the Valley. Very much a relegation 6 point, and Charlton sitting just 1 point above the relegation zone after Borough's draw with Nottingham Forest on Monday night. So we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer as he looks ahead to that game. We'll hear the Addicts boss talk about the relegation battle as a whole as well. Of course, there's been Charlton have been in the news very much this week after the Leeds goalkeeper Kiko Kassia was found guilty of the FA's charge for racially abusing Jonathan Lecco. So we'll discuss the fallout from that here a little bit more from Bowyer. And then, of course, like we'll focus mainly, though, on Saturday's game, a big match looking ahead, the game with Middlesbrough here at the Valley. So let's dive straight into that, shall we? Let's hear what Lee Bowyer had to say during his press day today. Obviously, it was a big defeat last week up at Huddersfield. He needs a reaction from his side. The Addicts boss was asked during press day today what he said to his side. What was his message to his team ahead of Saturday's massive game?
The message is the same as it always is, you know. Is we have a difficult game coming up against a good Middlesbrough side, and we have to stick together as a football club and get as many points as we can to keep us in this division. Nothing's changed from day one till now. So we're a good side, especially at home, and we've got good fans that get behind the side, and I'm looking forward to getting back to the Valley.
The fact that it is home advantage, and we know sort of the noise levels and everything that comes with playing a game like this at the Valley, do you expect sort of everyone to be up for it? Is that going to put almost a bit more pressure on Middlesbrough, do you think?
There's pressure on every team up and down the country, isn't there, for one reason or another. So, yes, it's a big game, and we're in the running now. We're in the last 10 games, and like I said, both teams will go out there and try and win, I have no doubt. Jonathan will get his side ready. They had a good result against Forest in the week. So, yeah, I have no doubt it's going to be a tough game, but I trust my players, and I know that they go out there and fight for every ball.
How do you assess the situation down there at the moment? Because it feels like every team is just picking up points.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's going to go to the wire. It's going to go to the wire, and there's more teams involved than people realise, I think. The most important thing is that we concentrate on our job and do what we're asked to do. And if we do that, then I think we'll be okay.
What concerns you most against Huddersfield, and what have you sort of said to them with that in mind?
Huddersfield, it was disappointing. The scoreline wasn't what the game was. If you was at the game, then it was 1-0 up. We should have scored 2 or 3 in that time. Good chances, and the game's different. We didn't. They scored, if from another mistake. The first two goals were mistakes. And then they scored from another mistake, and then we was pushing to try and get back into the game. They scored two in injury time. It looks a lot worse than what it was. My disappointment from that game was our work rate, which isn't us. But I know that will change. Whenever we've had a disappointing result, the way we've played the next game has been exceptional, the way we've come back out and fought, and I know that's going to happen Saturday. The players, it will be completely different. The atmosphere will be bouncing. My players will be there fighting for every ball. And when we get chances, I believe we'll take them.
And what have you made of Middlesbrough of late?
Good, I think. But this league is like, you can do not a lot wrong. And I watched Monday's game, and they was unlucky not to win the game. For me, they was the better side for 75% of that game. But again, it's one of them. You have quality in this division, and they can hurt you from nothing. That finish from Gammon was an outstanding finish. It was brilliant. To put the spin on the ball, to just spin it back into the goal, that's something special. So, again, people were questioning, was it a foul on a goalie? I don't believe it was. I thought it was just a bit of brilliance and clever thinking from the striker. But Jonathan would have been disappointed, because they dominated the game for large periods and should have put it to bed, really.
And what about Jonathan Woodgate himself? What would you say, and sum up the job he's done?
It's a tough job, because last season, obviously, they had Tony Pulis in charge. The budget was a lot higher, and they was pushing for the Premiership, and they just missed out on the playoffs. So they have a good squad of players. But then Jonathan's budget got cut in the summer, and he's had to bring a couple of the younger lads through who have been exceptional for him. And it's tough, you know, especially your first job. The expectation there at Middlesbrough is to try and get back into the Premiership. So, but Jonathan is a winner, and he will keep pushing his players. I know him as a person, and I've no doubt that he'll turn things around. They was in a different period before, and he turned it around, and I think he'll do the same again. He has a good squad of players, and he's a good man, and he knows the game, and he's got Robbie Keane beside him also. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine.
So, Lee Bowyer, not going to understate the importance of Saturday's game and how difficult it's going to be for us. Obviously, against a manager he knows well, a manager who beat us back in December in one of our poorest performances of the season up at the Riverside. Lewis, you had the pleasure of being there. We're going into a Middlesbrough team that haven't won since New Year's Day on the road at Preston. They won 2-0. They've obviously been on a poor run of form. As Bo said, they're unlucky not to win on Monday, perhaps, against a Forest side who didn't look themselves to me. But this is a big one. I'm not going to say quite season-defining, because there's still 10 games left to go. So we lose Saturday, don't mean we're down. We win Saturday, don't mean we're up. But it's certainly a big one psychologically going into those remaining 10 games. If we get beat by a side below us, and there's every chance we'd find ourselves within the relegation zone. If Stoke are playing Hull at home, so they could easily get points there. We could very easily find ourselves in the relegation zone at 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, and in terms of mentality, you kind of don't want that to be the case, because we've had a bit of a sort of confidence battering result last weekend up at Huddersfield with a team that were below us at the time. It's going to be sort of the key time to turn it around, you know, back on home soil against a side with that are in a terrible run of form. Some disappointing results against Luton and Barnsley in recent weeks as well has really sort of closed that gap now. So it's going to be a really tough game. We're going to be hyped up for it, I imagine, because to turn around the performance that we had on Saturday, the result that we had on Saturday, should I say, is going to be a big task. But I think back on home soil, that sort of puts it in our favour a lot more, because you're going to have the Valley crowd behind them and trying to push it over the line. I imagine it's going to be a really scrappy game, because you've got two teams that are both fighting for their lives down there. But I'd sort of fancy us to bounce back. I've seen Middlesbrough a couple of times. You know, when I went up to our game, even in December, when we performed really badly, I didn't really think Middlesbrough were that great. I think we made them look better than they actually are, because we were so poor. So back on home soil, I'd like to think that we've got enough to get the points, and hopefully that will do us some good, not just in terms of the league table and the standings, but also in confidence and trying to string a bit of a run together to push ourselves even further away from the bottom three.
And of course, we need to react, don't we, to Saturday's game at Huddersfield, Nathan. It was, you know, a 4-goal defeat, Boya said, and I agree to an extent that it wasn't really a 4-0 game in terms of, you know, we had opportunities, we had chances, but the fact it therefore went on to end 4-0 was the thing that was really rang alarm bells for me, because you go on, you know, we collapsed in that last 15 minutes, and that always, to me, feels like a bad sign. So those players and that manager are going to want to go and put down a marker now to show that they've recovered from that, and to show that that's not what they're about. That last Saturday, make it a blip and not the way we're going to be playing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it probably wasn't a 4-0 game, but I mean, as a player, when you look back at it, it's still, even though you might not think you deserve to lose 4-0, it still says 4-0 on the paper. So, and that, you know, it's, I think that's the first time we've been trounced a little bit, really, apart from maybe Stoke. But yeah, I mean, for me, we said it on last Thursday show about the Huddersfield game, is we need to start with a bit more confidence, a bit more purpose, a bit more enthusiasm. Like, you know, we started, you know, I know you've got some players who ain't here now with Leko and Gallagher, etc. But we really need to try and start on the front foot. I mean, we got, like you say, they've not won, Borough ain't won since New Year's Day, which they went on, what, they won 3 or 4 on a bounce around Christmas, didn't they? And since then, they've drawn 5, lost 5, and they've only lost by the odd goal. So it's going to be a close game. And like Lou said, it's going to be a scrappy game. But again, like most games, 6 points down the bottom is who scores first, because, I mean, apart from obviously Borough sort of went 1-0 down, didn't they, and then come back. But it's going to be so key to get that first goal. So for me, it's the start fast. There's been a couple of home games this year where we started fast and teams ain't been able to cope with us. But for me, we need to try and play our football a bit more. The last few times I've seen us, we've gone a bit longer, a bit more direct. And teams have sussed us out, and we might need to change it up a bit. But yeah, it's going to be tricky. But, you know, I said on the show the other week, I think if we come out of Saturday's game coming up with only 1 point, I'd start worrying, and I'll still stick by that. But I'm not saying we're going to be relegated, because there's still plenty of games to go, but it's a big game we should be winning.
I mean, Nathan talks about the importance of the first goal. I mean, considering the soft underbelly we've shown perhaps when conceding goals recently, obviously last week as well, going on to concede a few more, but having poor spells even when we've been leading and letting in a goal, for example, against Barnsley or against Luton. Do you think that is vital to make sure that we don't fall behind, because our confidence just seems to be a little bit fragile at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, two perfect examples are last weekend and home a couple of weeks ago against Blackburn. It seems like when we do concede, especially early, we sort of resort to pumping the ball long and not playing to our strengths, and then we find ourselves sort of desperately trying to hold possession in the final third, but always losing those battles in the air and in midfield. That's something we've got to work on, because you look back to the start of the season, and as Nave says, we are a couple of players down from at the start when we were playing this, you know, exciting, attractive on the floor football with the likes of Gallagher and Leko that were always looking to drive the ball forward. But we've still got players in there that are capable of doing that. It just seems like the confidence is a little bit shot to pieces, and whenever they try and string something together, it either kind of falls apart at the last pass and we concede possession, or we can't quite get it out of our feet. You know, you look at last weekend, for example, some of the passing at Huddersfield was pretty poor, and Sheffield Wednesday was even worse. So there's something that's just not ticking at the moment in that midfield. The loss of Pratley to injury has been huge for us. I think I don't think anyone's underestimated how important he's been for us this season, but I think it's just magnified how much we rely on him. Just to bring a bit of assurance and a bit of leadership to that team, because at the moment there doesn't seem to be anybody in that side that's sort of putting their arm around everybody and telling them that they're good enough to get out of this fight. It just seems like everyone's a little bit depleted, deflated and sort of lackluster. So I think the sooner we can get, you know, Darren Pratley back in the side, I think that'll be a big boost. but also just trying to string a couple of wins together at home. You know, we've got quite a lot of important home games left to go against some sides that are down there with us, and we've got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and then when there is something to build on at home, our home form isn't awful in terms of defeats. I think only one defeat in the last seven in the Championship at the Valley was a couple of games ago against Blackburn. Obviously won two of our last three at the Valley again, both against teams that are down there, Barnsley and Luton. So I mean, we have got something to build upon at home. You know, clearly our away form is all over the place at the moment, other than that remarkable win at Forest a few weeks ago. So do you think that's a base to build upon? You have to get your results at home if we're going to stay in this division?
Yeah, of course. I think you look at the remaining home games, and I know Wigan's later on the season, but I think we've got QPR coming up. We obviously get Borough. I can't remember who else we've got in between. But yeah, I mean, in theory, I know 40...
Millwall. Millwall. That's a write-off. Right, we've got Reading as well at home.
So so they're getting dragged into it. You know, if you win three of them home games, obviously depending on results, I still think 47, you'll need more now.
Yeah.
You're looking at it now.
Yeah,
we're going
to talk about that
in
a minute, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, we've got a good chance. And I think I was looking at their side against Forest, you've got Johnny Alson, who started as a central midfielder playing right back. You've got Ryan Shotton, who's a centre-half now, who started his career at right back, so they swapped. So I think they're there to be got at, and I think if you've got Lyle and Maka or Andre Green and you can stretch them, I think I'm confident on Saturday, but I'm not saying it's going to be a resounding victory. I hope it is, but like I said earlier, if we play our game, I know they've got Gestede up front, who's going to be a bit of a unit, but I think if we play our game, we really can. But like, yeah, we need to rely on win our own games, and then you try and nick sake away from home, because you're not going to go away and play teams off the park. You know, that's what we've got to try and understand. We're not Man City. We're not, people ain't going to sit behind the ball when old Charlton come to town, are they? So we've got to be realistic and, yeah, like you say, focus on those home games.
Yeah, so I mean, is that the style of play is going to be important then for us then, Lewis? And obviously we know with certain players out, it's going to be touch and go for Prattley, by the sounds of it. We'll hear a bit more from Bowyer about that later on. I think it's going to be too soon for Naby. So likelihood is, and with Lockyer suspended, we will be playing the four at the back, and it will be a centre-half pairing of Jason Pearce and Deji Oshalaja again. Obviously, we've conceded four goals last Saturday with that centre-half pairing. I'm not going to say it was both their faults, because there was plenty of players involved in some mistakes there. But, I mean, there'll be a certain style of play that we saw at Huddersfield, playing out from the back, perhaps overplaying. I know you need to keep possession in order to not tire yourselves out in the Championship, otherwise you're chasing the whole game. But, I mean, we saw a few instances of overplaying on Saturday, which cost us the goal. Do you think that might change the way that Bowyer approaches this one in terms of what we do with the ball when we're in possession of it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's tough with the players available to sort of try and sort of work out how they're going to line up. We obviously used the diamond up at Huddersfield. Bowyer come out, said he picked the players he thought that it would work for. It didn't quite work out up there. Whether he sticks with the diamond and changes the personnel within that formation, I don't know. Or whether he'll go to try and get five at the back. But it's then who you put in with Deji and Piercy. Unless you drop Davis a bit deeper as a defensive mid. But you're sort of lacking options there, really. I think with the personnel we've got, we'll probably have to stick with the diamond and have Cullen at the base, sort of anchoring. But we've got to try and work something, because it's the ball retention is something we're really struggling with at the moment. And as I say, when we have got the possession, we string sort of three or four passes together and then start getting wasteful. And it was proved last weekend, you know, overplaying and gifting Huddersfield that first goal, which then led to our soft underbelly, if you like, being exposed again. And all of a sudden, you know, the side, you know, capitulates and we find ourselves at the end of a 4-0 thrashing. So it's something that I imagine they're going to have worked on this week tirelessly to try and sort of get to the root of the problem, because I feel like it's something that's becoming a bit of a common theme, especially in possession at the moment. So we just got to try and iron out those silly errors, because you can't afford to give those chances away in this division.
How do you think Borough will feel then coming into this, though, on the back of a 10-game winless run in the Championship? You know, there are teams below, well, not even below us now, who've jumped above us, having put together good runs, the likes of Wigan. You know, they know they're right in the thick of this relegation battle. They will take some heart from the performance, I think, against Forest on Monday. I don't know if you got a chance to see any of it, but they played well in that game. How do you think they'll approach this? Do you think they'll be happy with a point, considering there's still 10 games left to go?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not seeing their remaining fixtures, but You'd imagine they'd take a point, but if they've got a harder run in, then they'd probably want all three. But they can come into it, and like you say, I did watch most of the game, and they did play fairly well, to be honest. And listen, anyone can beat anyone. Do you know, it's like we've seen it all throughout the year of, you know, we beat Leeds at home, and we were in our sort of, in our bit of form back then. But anyone can beat anyone. You get, like I said, if you get the first goal, anything can happen. And they've got to come here. It's not like I said, you know, we're not top of the league, 50 points clear. We're there to be beat as well, and we're down there for
thanks
a reason.
Thanks for pointing that out.
But yeah, we are, you know, we're there to be beat as well, and I think they can. And if I think if they start fast, well, like we want to, and it, they make the game nervy, they can make it bitty, they make it scrappy. It'll be interesting. But yeah, it'll be interesting how we line up. I think we should go for 4-3-3. Because I think the problem with us is that we've Cullen has to start the base, right? He has to. And then you've got to play either side in that narrower position. You've got Lapo, okay. And then who else are you going to put there? Can't really put Davis there because he's deep ball winner. He's not a box-to-box player. So who else are you going to put in there? Smith? Morgan? You can't really do it. So I'd go Lapo, Cullen and Davis. Davis sit a little bit there. Give Josh a bit of freedom and then put Johnny and Andre Green either side of the line. That's the only way I can see it. Cause I think you play that diamond. I just think he tried Ozzy in there. Ozzy was getting dragged out of Huddersfield. I was hearing, listening to it on tell, and it wasn't. He looked a bit lost in that middle. That's not his natural position. He's the floater, but it's interesting. I think I can't see him go out back five. I can only see a 4-3-3. Honestly,
yeah. Well, we'll discuss the tactics of the game a bit later on as well during the show. But let's have a listen to Libo. You're talking about the relegation battle as a whole. Then so. We've been talking about point targets throughout the season. My point target at 45 looks ridiculous now. The one I was talking about a few weeks ago, considering where the table lies now, we're on what, 39 points. So the team Middlesbrough are 22nd. They're on 38. Are they only going to get 7 more points this season out of 10 games? You'd have to say it's unlikely they'll get that few. So 45 points is going to be too low now, you have to imagine. 47 points was one that Lee Bowie talks about a few weeks ago. Well, he's possibly going to have to change his points target as well. In fact, he was asked about that during press day today. And he admits that sometimes you make a target and then because of the quality or the standard of the league down the bottom of that table, sometimes it has to change.
You can try and set yourself a target, but that can change. Like at the start of the season, you'd have looked at last season's what it would have took to stay up. And it would have been 40 points. 40 points with a decent goals per game record, then 40 points would have been enough last season. And we're on 39 with 10 to go. So, but I understand teams have done well this year. The teams down near the bottom, they've picked up invaluable points. So then it pushes that mark a little bit higher and a little bit higher, and we have to keep moving with that. We all know the rules. We all know what happens in the game. So most important thing is that we stay above there and keep trying to put as many points on the board as we can from now to the end. And that's never changed for me. That's never changed. I never thought it was going to be easy. But yeah, we know what the job in hand is.
As you said at the beginning of the season, the survival was always the target. And Barnsley, ourselves, Luton are probably the favourites at the start of the season. Are you surprised that the likes of Middlesbrough, Stoke, Wigan, Hull, Huddersfield are all down there as well?
I'm not really surprised because this league is so tight. Like if you look at the time when we had all them injuries and we were still managing. When we did lose, we only lost by one goal, like, and we had so many people out, but we were still in every game. So there's not much in this league at all, and you can go on runs where the odd result don't go your way, and the ball don't drop for you, and the decision goes against you, and that there's so many things to the game that happens in split second moments, and. Sometimes you're on the right end of it and sometimes you're on the wrong. And if you go through a stage of missing chances or making mistakes defensively, you know, you could go from losing 2, 3, 8, 10 like on the spin and or without getting a win. And a lot of teams have experienced that this year. Look at Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday, like, talking about a proper established Championship side, and they've been on about a run before. Middlesbrough now, they're on it. We've been on it. Like, there's a lot of Stoke. Like, there's a lot of teams with good, experienced players, Championship players, that have found it tough. And that's why they say this is probably the hardest league in the country.
And given that list of teams, is it too simplistic to say, because three of those teams are going to face Borough, Wigan, Hull, is it too simplistic to say that those three are probably the most crucial of the running?
Yeah. Well, again, like, anything's possible, isn't it? Who would have said that we'd have gone to Forest and won there? Who would have said we'd have beat Leeds? Who would have said we'd have beat Brentford? Like, who would have said that? No one would have given us a chance. But we did. And I believe every game that we go into, we can win, because we have players that can make that happen. But we have to be at it. The one thing that I will stress on is that if we ain't at it, as in the whole team, if two or three are off it, then you get found out. And we definitely get found out when that happens. And that's what happened on Saturday. And then we changed things around, and then we came back into the game. So I've spoken to the players this week and showed them this is why it was like that. This is why then when you win games, this is what we're doing. You can physically see the difference. And they're aware. They know. They know what's at stake. They know what they've got to do. They've been excellent in training all week.
There we go. Well, that's positive that they've had a good week in training, at least. So, I mean, Bo, you're talking about that points target that we've discussed on the show over the course of the last couple of months, Lewis. Obviously, I mean, it must have changed now. I think 47, even that would be a bit low. I think it looks like it's sort of creeping upwards, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you look at who's on 47 at the moment. You sort of as high as 14th place. Could they still be dragged into it? I don't know, really. Now it's quite a big jump from Wigan up to there, but I do think from sort of Reading downwards, and Reading are only on 45, so realistically 47, you probably could still be just about in the relegation scrap. I mean, that's crazy. You think 10 teams that could all go? It's nuts. But we've got to start picking up some points and trying to climb up there, because it's getting tight, isn't it? And especially in this run we're on now, where we've got the teams in and around us, the gaps close very quickly, and we've seen some pretty odd results recently when we've maybe wanted things to go our way. And you've seen like the likes of Barnsley getting results at West Brom and silly things like that, and you think, Wigan, at West Brom, and you think that you can't really rely on anybody you can't rely on the favourites to beat the underdogs, because as Nath says, anyone in this league can beat anybody, and all we can really control is our own job. Mm. So I think you're right. I think it's probably creeping up from 47. I think it's going to be, it could potentially be as high as 50 points, I think, to get you safe this time around.
Yeah, which is what they used to always say, 50 points. But very rare over the course of the last 10 years that 50 points has been needed. But there has been one or two occasions, I think. Do you think the added pressure could be getting to the players? I mean, do you think that could be the cause of some of the mistakes we've seen recently? I mean, the goal we conceded at Sheffield Wednesday was a bit error-strewn, really, although obviously never a free kick in the first place, as Lee Bowyer reminded us at full time. I mean, we gifted Huddersfield the opening goal. I mean, do you think at the back of the player's mind, they're thinking, oh, I mustn't make a mistake, and they're over-egging it, trying too hard or trying to play safe, which is probably what we saw on Saturday. You know, Lapsley had possession, didn't know what to do with it, tried to play safe by just giving it to the nearest person to him, who was under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I think pressure gets banded a lot around about football. And for me, I just don't think football is pressure. I think you're in the wrong sort of industry if you can't really hack it. I mean, pressure is like a surgeon working on someone's heart or something. Do you know what I mean? For me, but I think apprehensive, and yeah, they probably are wary they're making mistakes. But that's the nature of the game. And I think it shows, I mean, and I think Bo's touched on it in his presser. I don't know if it's today or Saturday. He needs men now, and it's the battle of who can handle it the best. I think he said that, or something along those lines anyway. And I think that's true, because if you don't handle the situation well, you're sink or swim, basically. Who's got the biggest set of cojones? Nicely done.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on. he's got the, you know, and that's what I think it's going to come down to. But yeah, I think the, I mean, looking at, I was looking at Borough after us. I think they've got Stoke and Hull. Hull have got everyone around us. Mm. So even though that the the points are going up, a lot of the teams are playing each other. So it might actually be still 47 because not both teams can win. But like, you know, we've all said, just focus on ourselves, win our games. And then, yeah, see where it takes us. But yeah, we just need men to stand up now.
Yeah, some interesting games coming up this weekend then. So QPR, if you're still thinking they're involved, they're away at Preston. Birmingham v Reading. Stoke versus Hull. Barnsley versus Cardiff. Wigan versus Luton. So teams in and around us with difficult games, some of them facing each other. I mean, that will be the case for the rest of the season. I mean, I am one who's dreadful for watching the other teams and seeing what they're doing. I just pray for them to slip up. Whenever I put a tweet out about another team slipping up or doing well, someone always replies to me, you can only concentrate on your own side. I guess that is the case. And that's what Bayer has to drum into his team. When we're playing on Saturday, the boys can't be thinking at the back of their mind, I wonder how Luton are getting on at Wigan, because they can't affect that.
Exactly. We can only control what happens in our game. And we've got a huge game against the side that are in and around us on Saturday. So we win that, then we pull that a little bit further away from them, and it drops them a little bit closer to, you know, Luton and Barnsley down there on 34. So there's a bit of a gap. So it pushes them a bit closer to the trapdoor. We edge away from it. Then you're looking at the other games in and around it. Huddersfield have got Leeds. Leeds are on good form. If they beat Huddersfield, Huddersfield can be back in the sort of the lower echelons of this mini relegation league. And Luton Wigan's a huge game, isn't it, really? Because I think if Luton don't get anything out of that, then they're probably looking pretty sorry. And Barnsley, Cardiff, they're all, you can't really call any of them, can you? It's crazy, but it's what makes it such an exciting and competitive division, because anybody can beat anybody, but we can only control what we do. We've got to go out there and perform better than we have done of late, because what we're doing at the moment isn't getting us results. So we know that we've got to go out there and put that extra, you know, extra sort of 10-20% in, because at the moment we're falling short. The Wednesday result was unfortunate with the decision, but you can't dwell on that, because you've got to defend until the final whistle, and we didn't. And then last weekend, you want to forget that as quick as possible, because we've been there before, where we've come off the back of a heavy defeat and we've gone and played somebody the following week and been heavily defeated again, albeit it was away from home twice. We've had us, and it was Huddersfield last time, wasn't it? It was Huddersfield and Hull. So hopefully now, off the back of that, we've had a solid week's training back at back at home, where we know that our form is much better than our away form. So it gives us that little bit more of a chance maybe to get back on track, and with that carry a bit of positivity into some important games coming up against the likes of Hull next weekend.
Right. Doogie's sent a message in. A massive couple of games coming up. Fantastic to have the calming influence of Prattley available again. With Johnny Williams back also, I'm quietly confident of getting the result needed. Sadly, no Naby, who is the only centre-back with good passing ability. Every time against Huddersfield, when we were trying to play out from the back, it felt so nervous. Hopefully, get it upfield and play from there this weekend. Bowyer is still the man. Let's get behind the boys and all pull together. Coming your Reds. That's from Doogie. Cheers, Doogie. And Will Bolland says that this needs repeating again on Charlton Live. I wish the CFC fans would calm down. Cast your minds back to this time last year. The same fans were saying that we wouldn't get into the playoffs, let alone win them. What happened? We finished third and we won the bloody playoffs. There's a long way to go yet. Right, we're going to have a break very shortly, but just away from the football slightly, but obviously involving, well, everyone really, of course, in the news. You can't have missed it, unfortunately, the issue with the coronavirus that's been going around. We've all been sort of changing our lifestyles a little bit here and there, making sure you're washing your hands a bit more, like Tom after his JR for this evening. So just make sure you listen back to the start of the pod, by the way, in case you wonder why I said that, in case you missed that earlier. I wasn't talking about that. He's gone to see James Arthur. But Lee Bowyer was asked about what's been done differently down the training ground because of the club advice. This is what Bowyer had to say.
Yeah, just the gel on the hands, and you can tell them not to shake hands, but they will. It's just a respect thing. They've done it from day one, and they'll forget. You can tell them, but they'll forget. So we ain't gone that far yet, but obviously we're taking the recommended stuff from washing your hands and stuff like that.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers the header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, he scores. Oh, Patrick Barr. You absolute German beauty. Woo! Dreamland. Jones have scored. With seconds remaining.
We've done it, all.
Get it. Come on. What a time to be a hero.
Here at Wembley.
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live. It's the big match preview coming to you live from the Valley on your Thursday evening or via the podcast, of course. Afterwards, looking ahead to the massive game with Middlesbrough, we've already heard from Lee Bowyer on a number of subjects ahead of that game. But away from Saturday's game, now cast your minds back, of course, to the game where we beat Leeds early on in the season. The news sort of broke a few days after that there was an allegation that had gone in from Jonathan Lecco regarding the Leeds United goalkeeper Kiko Casilla, accused of racially abusing the former Charlton loanee. Now, that went through an extensive, or a long, if that's a phrase you want to use, FA process before going to a sort of, well, I don't know if you call it a trial as such, but they went through and did their own sort of inquiries into it. And finally, now, last week, the Leeds goalkeeper has been found guilty of the charge of racially abusing the Charlton Athletic former forward, Jonathan Lecco. Banned for 8 matches, given a £60,000 fine as well. So that all came out. And then on Monday or Tuesday this week, the FA actually published the full details into their findings, and it made for some pretty stark reading, particularly for those out there who I think had been caught up in a bit of a false narrative that had been going around on Twitter, based in almost nothing. And it just shows how fake news can spread on social media and stuff, where people were suggesting that the Leeds keeper had said one thing, and then enough people said it over and over again that they thought that must have been what happened, to the extent that they started accusing the Charlton player of lying, sending them abuse on Twitter, without knowing the full facts. Now, it just goes to show that you really shouldn't believe everything you read on the internet, and you really should wait for these things to be investigated properly. Now, it has been investigated properly. Jonathan Lecco made a statement on the West Bromwich Albion website, of course, because he's gone back to his parent club after suffering that injury now. But Lee Bowyer was asked about the fallout from that incident as well during his press day. Asked how the situation has been for the club themselves and for a manager himself, obviously having to deal with and having to support a player through a really horrendous situation like the one that Jonathan Lecco had been through over the course of the last few months.
Obviously it's been difficult, but the most important thing now is that it's been dealt with and we can all move on. In an ideal world for us, and I guess Leeds would say the same, should have been dealt with quicker. I don't think it's been fair on both clubs and all players involved for it to go on as long as what it did, especially for Jonathan and for Macca.
That seems to be the key for him as well. I think it was 22 weeks in total, so you feel that's too long.
Yeah, it's too long. Yeah, yeah. To have something like that holding over you is difficult, and for a young player as well. think 19, 20. It's not a nice thing to have to carry, and I have to say, us as a football club have been there supporting him from day one, and we don't agree with racism. We don't want it in football. This club does a lot of work around the community with all different aspects, but we know that we've done the right thing by Jonathan, and we've supported him throughout the whole process.
I think he called it a stressful experience. Obviously, he's been injured and has gone back to West Brom, but can you give us examples of how it impacted on maybe the club and the player, the fact that it did take so long?
Well, I can only tell you what it's done to the player. Like, it's, you can see he wasn't himself, because he's a bubbly lad. He's a young lad, a very confident lad. And he was a bit quiet for a while after. But then us as a group, we got him through that. And then he started to become himself again. So, and then obviously with his injury, and then he went back. So he's not been around for a while. But while he was here, we everybody was there to support him.
What have you said to him this week? I know he's not at the club, but have you spoken to him this week? What have you said to him?
Yeah, as soon as the verdicts came out, I rang him just to make sure if he's okay. Now that it's over, he just said, yeah, I'm just glad it's over now and can move on. And then we started to talk about his injury and how that's going. So most important thing now that it's dealt with, and everybody can move on, and especially Jonathan.
I think he said he would question whether he would go through that again, given his experience of the whole thing. What's your message to players who maybe suffer something similar?
There's a protocol in place, isn't there? And everybody's told to report it, which is the right thing to do. But then there has to be support and actions taken. And that's not just this situation. Moving forward, the one thing I think everybody can take from it and learn from it is it gets dealt with quickly. I think that's the main thing for me. And I get that there is a process that has to be taken, but if that can get done better and quicker, then I think it's better for all parties that are involved.
There we go then. Libe, you're talking about a situation that none of us would like to have to encounter in football, but one that obviously did happen here back at the Valley, back when we beat Leeds 1-0 earlier on in the season back in September. Obviously, it's taken a very long time to get to this stage, Nathan. I'm guessing if you're Jonathan Lecker, and that's where our sympathies lie in the first place, because he was the player who suffered the abuse, and then there's Macaulay Bonn, who also heard the words that the goalkeeper was alleged to have said and was found guilty of saying by the independent panel that the FA used. He's had to go through this as well and endured the abuse on social media as well. I mean, it's a horrible situation for those players to be in. It's taken a long time for it to come out the other side. I mean, you can see how thorough the investigation was, so in a way you can understand, I guess. It would be ideal if it could have been done a bit quicker, and because that goalkeeper's been playing all this time.
Well, exactly, and I think, you know, first and foremost, you know, racism and those sort of words shouldn't be done anywhere in the world, let alone on a football pitch. It doesn't make them exclusive or anything. In my opinion, it should have been done quicker. I don't know why it took so long. I mean, if they're just gathering evidence of what they come out of, surely it doesn't take 22 weeks with technology we have now, but is what it is. But for me, I don't want to see players banned for a long time and, you know, just willy-nilly. But, I mean, if you look at the fines they've given out, so what, Sturridge got 150 grand for betting. Bentner had 80 grand for getting his pants out. Besiktas got 30 grand because a cat went on the pitch.
Did they?
Yeah, in the Champions League game. What was it? And that was less than the Russian racism. So it's like, for me, and if you look at... So, like, things like the Man City thing at the moment, as soon as they said, right, 2 years banned, everyone stood up and went, well, wow, that's a statement. So if they can do something like that about financial fair play, why don't they do something like that about racism, where it actually matters? It's actually people's feelings and not money. That's my opinion, but I'm glad it's done now, and Jonathan can move on and Macca can move on, and, you know, and the Leeds player, hopefully he's learned his lesson, because he's obviously living in a cave, and he didn't know what the word was.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was, I mean, some of the confusion, wasn't it? Well, confusion. His so-called defence there was a lot of issues within there where clearly things didn't quite add up, and that's what the FA came to find. You know, I mean, people who haven't read that entire, it's a 60-odd page document. I do encourage you to do so if you really want to know about the case, because there'll be some people just seeing the fact that it's done on the balance of probability and just hear that and go, oh, they've guessed. But you need to read, there's inconsistencies within the Leeds player's defence, where he claims never to have heard the word that he's accused of saying until a month after, despite the fact it was clear he was told on the day that he's been accused of something, and therefore you can understand that they must have asked. It was talked about on the team bus, by it would seem, because a Leeds player was texting Jonathan Lecco at the time, and he said what the Leeds player was accused of saying. I mean, there is, in my opinion, no defence for what the goalkeeper tried to wriggle out of. I mean, so Jonathan Lecco said came out in a statement and said he'd sort of think twice now about reporting again because of how difficult the process was. What did you make of that, Lewis? I mean, that clearly, it doesn't reflect too well on the authorities.
No, it's horrific. I mean, he's a young player, and to have to sort of, like you say, it did go on for a long time, the 22 weeks, and you think within that 22 weeks, that's going to be on his mind because he's reported it. And he's not seeing anything happen. He's seeing Kika Kassir play week in, week out. You know, he's seeing Leeds do well in the division. And the fact that there was even any slight abuse towards Jonathan Lecco and Maka on social media for reporting something as serious as this is disgraceful. I think that the PFA and whoever kick it out, everything, have to look at this as the benchmark of to not let this happen. They've got to, as Nave said, they have to take this more seriously. They have to implement bans that make people stand up and think, right, finally they're doing something about it. Because Kassir, to fine him financially, what does that do to him, really? He's a professional footballer. He probably earns a decent wedge at Leeds, ex-Real Madrid. He's not short of a few quid. A fine isn't really, it's like, you know what, it's like getting a parking ticket, isn't it? But then an eight match ban, it looks like a long time for a bad tackle, not for racially abusing somebody. Racially abusing somebody should be a year at least. He shouldn't be able to play in this division for the rest of the season at the very least. But in my eyes, until the authorities start treating it with the severity that it is, because it's so magnified now. And you're seeing it more and more in stands in the Premier League. You're seeing it and you're hearing it of it on the pitch. We've had it with the big name players like Luis Suarez, Patrice Evra years ago. It's not getting treated with the severity that it needs to. And I think that maybe now, Lecco, hopefully he can look back at it, and if this did happen again, he can report it. But hopefully this case will be a bit of a footprint in pushing this forward and making sure that there's more support out there for players that do get racially abused, and also that the punishments are in line with the crime, because it's a criminal offence. You can't go and do that in the street. So why is it only an 8-match ban? I don't quite get it. I think in my eyes, it's a criminal offence. The punishment should be a lot harsher than just missing 8 games.
Yeah, as I say, if you went up in your workplace, not that you would, of course, and used language like that, you'd be sacked on the spot, which is just bizarre. But anyway, obviously, we send all our best wishes to Jonathan Lecco with his knee injury, and I hope he gets fighting fit for next season. It's irrelevant to what we're talking about, but I liked him as a player as well. Obviously, even if he was a terrible player, you wouldn't want him to go through what he's gone through. But I do miss him. I do think we miss him as a player and a character. So shame to see him gone. Right, Sebo tweets in, if the threat of the coronavirus keeps going up and up and up, my long run and other fans' long runs of consecutive games could come to an abrupt halt. Let's hope it does not have to come to that horrible scenario. But I guess the safety is of a paramount importance. Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out over the next few weeks. Keep washing your hands, everyone. Muzza Jazz on the forum says, a must-win game on Saturday for me. We need to nullify Gested at set pieces and stop Coulson and Wing counter-attacking down the wings. They got that. I quite like that Jed Spence they have as well. I think he made his debut against us. He looks quite lively. I noticed he came off the bench the other day. I hope that Bowes picks Purrington and pushes Doughty further up the pitch to play alongside Williams and Green with Taylor up front. Be good to have Prattley back in the side covering the back four with Cullen, maybe a 4-2-3-1. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that working. It's not a bad idea. But then Muzza says, whatever formation we play, I hope we start at a high tempo and put Borough under pressure. If we win, we should dedicate the win to Jonathan Lecco, show him that even though the football authorities have seriously let him down, the Charlton fans still back him. Yeah, it's a good message there. Cheers for that, Muzza. Thanks for getting involved on this evening's Charlton Live. So let's hear from Lee Bayer one more time then before Saturday's game. First of all, it'll tell us who's available to come back into the side for the clash with Middlesbrough.
Prattley's back training, so hopefully he'll get through today and tomorrow and then he can be back in the squad. Naby Sarr's just going to miss out. He'll start training next week. A bit too soon for him. Obviously Tom's suspended still, so apart from that everything's the same.
Obviously with a run of difficult results the fans can get a little nervous and anxious, despite knowing at the beginning of the season that this was going to be a struggle, even with the years I've taken that. I mean, last season the fans, the management, the players, all the squad all came together to get us to Wembley and then epically got us in the championship in the first place. I'm guessing you're going to want everybody to come together again, especially the fans to come back, maybe Valley Rocking and the away crowd to see us over the line again.
Yeah, but I don't think that we're separated, have we? I don't think we're separated. I think that the crowd have been excellent, home and away, all season. And I think, apart from a couple of occasions, that the players haven't let them down. They've given everything. And sometimes they're going to fall short because they're humans, you know. But I believe that us as a group and how far we've come, I say us as a group as in the club, how far we've come, we can't forget that just because things ain't going quite as well as we all would want to. But let's not forget that last season we was a club that wasn't tipped to be in the top six. We was a club that was never tipped to get promotion. We was a club that never would have been said, okay, you've got 10 games to go and you're not in the bottom three. We're way, way above. And we're batting above what anyone else would have expected. It's never going to be easy. You're playing against top sides week in, week out in this division. So I think we're still in a good place. People might question that, but I do, because we're still above where everyone expected us to be.
There we go. Lee sort of bringing up a similar point to what Will Bolland did when he tweeted in a few minutes ago. You know, obviously if you look at where we were expected to finish amongst the bookies in particular at the start of the season, we are above where we need to be. He's talking about sticking together as a fan base, and on the whole we have with the supporters, but there has been some frustration over the last couple of weeks, Nath, and it is important, you know, that we try and put the defeats at Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield behind us and make the get the value balance in as Bayer loves it to be, because, you know, as a collective, we can be a lot stronger than if we're at the players' backs and putting them under even more pressure than they already are.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, no one likes losing. No one loves losing, obviously. And yeah, we're in a bit of a bad run, and some people are going to get a bit tetchy because we are. But come on, we all sort of, you know, we had a few of us had, including myself, at some points having those rose tinted glasses on at the beginning. But like you say, we are where we are, and yeah, we just need to stick together. And I think that atmosphere, look at the Donny game. I mean, there's throughout the years, I mean, when that Marquee scored, we would have crumbled, but that crowd got us, well, he got the Billet goal early doors, then Prattley popped up. I just think it plays a massive difference. I think the players, especially after the last couple of weeks, last couple of games have been bad. The last minute goal at Sheffield, you know, Saturday's game. you know, the players will need it. And like Bo said, we've, you know, everyone's been played their part this year. And just because when something hits the fan, you know, don't just jump ship. Come on, like, we've done it all last year. We got behind. Don't give up now. Like, you've got to ride that. You've got to take the highs and the lows. Ride the wave. Let's get cracking. Let's sing a song together.
getting the most out of that guitar, aren't you?
I'm taking it home, mate. You're driving.
I mean, looking at Saturday, we've talked about sort of players who'd be in there to start. We haven't really talked about some of the options off the bench recently. I mean, I got some responses when I announced that Tommy Hemed was coming on at Middlesbrough when we were already 2 or 3 nil down on Saturday. We're talking about other options. I mean, Chucks is a player we haven't seen for a while. He's not be getting in the side because players are ahead of him, but surely, I mean, we have to get into that stage now where it's almost gone full cycle and he's got to become an option again soon.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him come in as well because I thought he showed signs of promise in a couple of games at the start of the season. He did struggle in another couple and also sort of broke down a lot. He'd sort of play maybe sort of 30 minutes at the end of a game and then you wouldn't see him for a couple of weeks because he was injured or whatever, so it would be nice to. I think he deserves at least a spot on the bench because we're not sort of having any impact off the bench at the moment. So you've got to give people like Chucks and EK a chance because as soon as you know, it could take him getting a goal on Saturday and us winning the game, and then all of a sudden he gets a load of confidence and he could play a key part. There were so many parts of his game that I really liked, especially up at Reading away, sticks out for me. I thought he played really well and against Stoke here at the start of the season as well. He's obviously got something about him. He's just been sort of hampered by injury and he's never really been 100%. So, yeah, I think he deserves a chance. If he's fit, then I don't see any reason why he doesn't deserve to be on the bench at the very least.
Yeah, I think that's one you probably agree with, Nath.
Oh, 100%. I think the difference is Chucks isn't a forward for me. Back to goal, I'm not really a fan of his. Even as a unit, he's better forward-facing with ball at his feet. I think, he might not be fit, but 10-15 minutes, and you're bringing on, you know, let's say you have, at that point in a game, you've got Lyle up there, Macca comes on maybe, and then you bring Chucks just behind for Johnny. I'm not being funny. You ain't going to want to be a defensive unit with them three at you, are you? I just think he offers something that he's a bit more agile than Tomer. Tomer's one of those ones, right, you want to try and chase a game with a long ball, like Sheffield Wednesday did to us. That's like the new who. That's what you want Tomer for. Nah, get Chucks in a game. He's, you know, he's a good player. He might not be fit, but I think he's worth a 10-15 minute cameo, at least.
Choice that Bo will have to make if we do play with a two up top, Taylor alongside, will it be Macaulay Bonner or will it be Andre Green? So he started with both of them in the last couple of games at different times. Who would you lean towards, Lou?
I think looking back at when we were talking about tactics earlier on in the show, Nath mentioned the 4-3-3. I think that's probably
there's a place for both.
I think I'd probably go with Green and Williams either side of Taylor. Bring Bon on when we start to tie. Maybe change shape if we need to then. But I just don't think we've got the players to then revert to a different option off the bench if it's not working at the moment. I think that if we start one way and concede an early goal, the confidence is shot to pieces. I think we've got to go. Sort of go, as a guy said there in one of the tweets, we've got to go all out, really. I think we've got to attack Middlesbrough. They're missing, I think, like four of their first choice defenders are out. They're missing Ayala, they're missing Dale Fry, they're missing George Friend. That Jed Spencer just come back from injury himself. So they're missing some key defenders. So you've got to think that they're going to be weakened as well. You're playing Johnny Howson at right back. We've got to try and sort of expose that, and especially at home, I think we've got to go for it. So I'd go for the three.
And I guess we probably have become too reliant upon him at times, but Johnny Williams did make a huge difference for me when he came on at half time at Huddersfield, Nath. He drove us forward. Obviously, it didn't end up in a goal and then we fell apart in the closing stages, but it did show how important he can be for this side. He gives everyone a massive lift the second he gets on the pitch.
Yeah, he wins free kicks as well. I know it's not his main ambition in life is to win a free kick on a football pitch, but I think if you play Green on the right for me and Williams on the left, if you can isolate Howson, I think you're going to have quite a lot of joy down there. Or you could switch it up, and then if worse comes to worse, you could go into, you know, if they play quite narrow, you can either stretch a play or then you could revert to a diamond and put Johnny in the number 10 and put Green up top. So I think you're a bit more flexible there. McGeady hasn't really done enough to start on Saturday. But he might put Green on the bench. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Johnny, he offers that. Hit the transition of the ball from when we get it, he's really the only player, apart from Green's quite a direct player, but someone who can glide with the ball. Ozzy ain't that player. Ozzy's someone who's quite cuter. So I think that's why he offers us so much, because he can turn defence to attack in quite a short period of time.
Right, let's have a look to some predictions then ahead of the game. Lewis, how do you see it going against Borough Saturday?
I'm going to go 2-0 Charlton.
Nice. Naif?
3-1.
Excellent. And if we win, are you going to play guitar on the pitch at full time?
No.
Oh, shame. Anyway, right, we've run out of time, thank God, on this evening's Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in and listened to the very end. We'll be back here on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Middlesbrough. Big game at the Valley. Make sure you get down here to support the boys. Right, thanks to Lewis and to Nathan for coming in this evening.
Cheers,
no worries, mate.
See you surviving the chaos at New Cross on the train on the way down as well. But you all got here. I've been Louis Mendez. Thanks to you all for listening then. We'll be back here on Sunday. Let's hope that Charlton can pick up a massive 3 points on Saturday against Middlesbrough. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.